The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Why are so many people sailing at half-mast these days? And worse yet, how many of them have been living that way for so long? Well, they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore. You know, too many individuals suffer from a condition. It really is a condition. It's a condition of acceptance. And they're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately, they don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body and one mind at a time. We've got a fantastic show for you today. It's going to be a little different from other shows that you've heard in the past. It might even be a little controversial. And, you know, many of us are familiar with the terms conventional medicine, and that really emphasizes drugs and surgery that are there to treat disease. In other words, conventional medicine is mostly made up of reactive medical protocols rather than proactive, holistic ones. Integrative medicine, on the other hand, is preventative, health-oriented medicine. It's a philosophy and a practice of medicine in which all effective and safe modalities or paradigms are applicable to the healing process. And these modalities or paradigms are integrated and used together as one system or simultaneously as complementary approaches to healing. I mean, that's the way it should be. The beautiful part about integrative medicine is that all recognized healing systems, we're talking about things like traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, bodywork, herbal medicine, nutritional medicine, exercise medicine, lifestyle medicine, mind-body medicine, massage, and yes, even conventional medicine are considered equally important. So, integrative medicine can be considered a holistic medicine because it emphasizes the holism and the complexity of each person. And, you know, let's not forget, we're all biochemical snowflakes, so to speak. Today we're going to be learning about yet another form of medicine, and it's called ecological medicine, which is believed to be the most holistic form of medicine because it transcends the whole person. It also includes the person's ecology, but also the whole planet. Today's guest is a trained professional in the areas of integrative medicine, preventative medicine, diagnostic radiology, and environmental health. He received his integrative medical training at the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine along with Dr. Andrew Weil. He now practices preventative medicine in Colorado at the Leonardi Institute. Please welcome one of the foremost thought leaders and pioneers in the areas of positive health, health-oriented medicine, lifestyle medicine, and clinical ecological medicine. We have Dr. Nathan Daly with us today. Dr. Daly, welcome to Transforming Health.
Thanks, Brad. It's all my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure having you. And, you know, this is a whole new concept, this ecological medicine. You know, before we go there, before we start to explain to the audience what that's all about, because that's definitely a term most people have never heard of before, you know, I kind of look at you, I read your bio, and I look at you as a kind of crusader, if you will, for the reform of conventional medicine. So I want to start off by asking, you know, how did a conventional medical doctor become so alternative?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a long story. It's a long journey. I originally went into, I now realize looking back, I went into medicine because I was very interested in what we all intuitively understand to be health, and health in the positive sense of a positive energy in the subjective experience of that entity. And, you know, I didn't articulate that and conceptualize that that was my motivation at the time. And I went into medical school and became immediately sidetracked, I guess, by and distracted by pathology and disease. I found it fascinating and, you know, was really sort of captivated by all the interesting disease entities and bizarre disorders that exist in the world. And, you know, the focus clearly is on treating those disorders. And I did, you know, I really dived into it. I was really fairly passionate about that perspective. It was new and exciting, and I was good at it. But I could never really find my place in medicine. I had a hard time identifying a specialty that really fit with what I guess I was intuitively hoping to explore, which was this entity of health. So I went into radiology. I'm very visual. I seem to be good at it, and it's considered to be a good specialty from lifestyle perspective. So I went into radiology and thought I would be happy just kind of cruising along with that as my occupation. But I found myself very unfulfilled and even more so increasingly disenchanted, I guess, by what I was observing, which in my mind were preventable diseases, which we were imaging using high technology and expensive technology and basically documenting the decline of these individuals with diseases that weren't getting any better. So from my perspective in radiology, it was a really ineffective medical system in the sense that these diseases were preventable to begin with, and they weren't being prevented. And then these diseases were supposed to be treatable, but they weren't really being treated. These were mostly degenerative and chronic diseases, and conventional medicine does not really offer a lot other than symptom management and efforts at stabilizing these diseases, and offers very little in the sense of recovering or curing these diseases.
So, Dr. Daly, what's interesting about this is because you've gone from one spectrum to, in my opinion, the complete opposite spectrum. You know, you're a professional in diagnostic radiology, and you talk about diagnosing disease with radiology, but in a sense, from everything that you now know, from everything that you've learned with this alternative and integrative world and ecological world, wouldn't you say that radiology itself could be somewhat of a contributing factor to some of this disease or dysfunction?
Sure. It's certainly a reinforcing perspective at the very least. It's, you know, some of the pride and joy of modern medicine is in its technology, and clearly radiology is a manifestation of the advanced technology that it has developed and it has at its disposal. And it's very successful at providing us information. It's very reliable in doing so, and it's depended upon by practitioners now as a major source of information. So, you know, at the very least, it certainly contributes to the disease-oriented paradigm.
Right. I'm talking about it more from the cumulative effect of radiation exposure from, and I'm talking about, you know, yes, it definitely has its place. No one's going to argue that, least of all me. But as a researcher, I look at that and I say, isn't it kind of overused these days? Like, I remember when I was a kid and anything would happen. You know, I'd sprain my ankle or I'd hurt my wrist and my mother would rush me to my doctor and they, you know, they would take an x-ray. Nobody thought anything of it. Going back, you know, 30 years ago, now we're learning that, you know, this is ionizing radiation that does have a cumulative effect on the body. And a lot of these, you know, a lot of these x-ray machines in the various hospitals or doctor's offices around the globe, they're not even really calibrated properly. So that's what I mean. I mean, as a diagnostic tool, absolutely it has its place, but I want to get your opinion on the overuse of things like x-rays and how that may contribute to disease.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that point, Brad. And, you know, I look at diagnostic imaging. The way I look at our other diagnostics and other interventions and treatment in medicine, and they're all double-edged swords, they all cause side effects. They all cause disease, in a sense. Some of them, all of them, in a sense, cause death to patients that undergo their services very routinely. And, you know, I'm sure we've all heard the commercials on TV from trial lawyers indicating that iatrogenic disease and death is one of the third or fourth leading causes of death. And, you know, those numbers are true. It's really staggering and frightening that that's the case. Of course, the argument would be that this is the best that we have available. And so we need to use these things to save lives, and we're saving more lives than we're not. And, you know, I think that's the question. That's the assertion that needs to be called into question. Because it's not the best that we have. It's the best that we believe we have. But as integrative medicine has shown us, there's a lot that can be brought into the treatment picture and the diagnostic picture, for that matter, that provides far more benefit at an earlier stage in disease or dysfunction with minimal side effects to no side effects in certain cases, and oftentimes that's the case.
Right, right. And Dr. Daly, I agree with, you know, a lot of what you're saying, but, you know, once again, like with the amount of deaths that we're experiencing, I think, you know, the numbers are anywhere from 100,000 to 600,000 a year from people that are dying. And these are not people that are self-diagnosing themselves or giving themselves pharmaceutical drugs. This is in a clinical setting, in a hospital setting, doctor-administered pharmaceutical drug side effects from a lot of those drugs is creating the majority of these problems. So, you know, we do need to look at other ways, and yet the majority of the population is still, you know, just following whatever their doctors are telling them and taking these poisons and creating a lot of problems because of that. And you and I have a lot to discuss today. We're going to get into this, you know, what you feel really is integrative and alternative medicine and ecological medicine. We'll talk about that next on Transforming Health with Brad King. My guest today, Dr. Nathan Daly, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie Jones. Tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie Jones brings you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health. Very, very interesting topic today. We're talking about a different form of medicine, something that could possibly be looked at as completely holistic. I mean, preventative medicine simply refers to the application of medical science to prevent disease, but the term, even though it's familiar to you, unfortunately, the clinical manifestation of this specialty is rarely encountered, which is highly unfortunate since most degenerative diseases are completely preventable. The problem is that almost everyone alive today lives with a dysfunctional constitution, one that is driving them ever closer towards disease and further away from what we call optimal health. Disease-oriented medicine, or allopathy as we call it, fails to prevent disease because these preclinical or subclinical conditions are just not recognized, and possibly because they represent the majority of the population and are therefore deemed to be normal. If everybody or the majority of people are experiencing the same things, well, maybe it's not as bad as we think it is. I mean, how many times have we gone to our doctor complaining about aches and pains or memory loss or some other kind of problem, and the doctor just looks at you and says, well, you're getting older. That's just a normal process of aging, and you walk away actually believing that, and that becomes your new reality. Please welcome back one of the foremost thought leaders and pioneers in the areas of positive health, lifestyle medicine, and clinical ecological medicine, Dr. Nathan Daly is with us. Dr. Daly, you know, we talk about the word health, right? It's probably one of the most commonly used words in our vocabulary, at least when we talk about medicine, and especially when we talk about things like integrative and alternative medicine. But you actually have a different thought pattern on this. You really say we're really concentrating, I guess, too much on disease instead of really optimal health. So why don't you take us there? What are you really referring to by saying that we talk too much about disease instead of really about health?
Well, you know, I think many individuals, if not most individuals, do have sort of an intuitive sense of what health may be. But when it comes to medical and healing approaches to improving health, with the intention of improving health, they're all studied, understood, and practiced from a disease-oriented perspective. And this includes, to me, even integrative medicine, alternative medicines, and preventive medicine. They're disease-oriented in the sense that that's the only language we have to communicate what we're doing and to study and understand the effects of what we're doing. It's all immersed in a vocabulary and nomenclature and a paradigm of disease and dysfunction. And I think, you know, that's simply a result of our culture. The science is defined by cultural assumptions, and with a culture that's really been focused on a reductionistic view of the world and a reductionistic understanding of reality for the last several hundred years, it's natural that our medicine will certainly be reductionistic, and the subsequent result of that, the reductionist entity in medicine is disease. That's why we have thousands of different definitions of disease, all with hundreds of thousands of diagnostic criteria and symptoms and associated signs. And so despite our best intentions and despite the real desires of many sort of pioneering and innovative practitioners who really do want to sort of cultivate and encourage and promote this positive entity of health, we still lack a concept for it. We still lack any way to say we're indeed improving health because we have no means to measure it, identify it, or even understand what that entity is.
So, Dr. Daly,
when we refer to positive health, we're talking about health as a positive entity, something that exists above and beyond the absence of disease. And many probably just recognized in my words there, beyond the absence of disease is very similar to the WHO's definition of health, which is that health is more than the mere absence of disease. It's a state of well-being, essentially.
Right.
The problem with that definition is all it does is provide us with an alternate term for health, which is well-being, and doesn't help us really understand what well-being is or health is. It may be better in the sense that it emphasizes a state of being well, and that's very intuitive. It does resonate more with what we all sort of intuitively know to be possible beyond living without disease, this state of feeling engaged and energetic and passionate and vibrant, and that life has a purpose, and you know, the feeling of being fully alive, if you will. That's sort of what we all envision and understand intuitively to be health. But in medicine, we have no way to quantify or even qualify what that is beyond the subjective realm.
Right, and as we said numerous times during this show alone, it's the majority of people are really not experiencing, let's call it optimal health or positive health. The majority of people are experiencing some kind of dysfunction. So what is going on? Why? What kind of world do we live in where the majority of people are not experiencing that upper level of health? Why do we seem to be breaking down so quickly instead of, you know, constantly rebuilding and regenerating and experiencing optimal health? What do you think's going on?
Well, yeah, I think there's a huge profound imbalance behind that underlies the answer to that question. And I think it's simply one of the major foundations of the problem is that we don't prioritize health, we don't conceptualize health, and we don't pursue health directly. What we do is we assume that health exists, that we're in a state of health until we get diagnosed with a disease or until we feel very poorly and decide that this is not right and not natural for us to feel this way. We just assume everything else is health.
But that's the thing. I mean, that's what's so sad about it, because you're right. Until we're diagnosed with a disorder or a disease, we could have aches and pains. We could have migraine headaches. We could have sexual dysfunction. It doesn't matter. But we still don't think there's any real problem because we haven't been specifically diagnosed with disease. So therefore, we're not dying in our minds. So we might, I guess the opposite is being healthy.
Right. Yeah, and you said in your lead into this segment, you defined a major contribution as well, which is this idea of normality.
Right.
And we all forget that normal is simply a statistical term that refers to 95% of the population, the central 95th percentile of our population. So you're normal unless you're in that 5% on either side, either extreme of the curve. And when we move as a society and a culture towards increasing incidence and prevalence of disease, normal eventually includes those disorders and diseases. And so normal doesn't mean healthy. Normal can certainly and does today mean disease.
Right. And how normal can it be when the majority of the population over the age of 50 in North America, at least, is on one or more medications? Where has our thinking taken us so that we actually accept that that's a reality? Oh, when I get to 50 or 55, it's just normal. Everyone's supposed to be on medication. I mean, how crazy is that way of thinking?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate because it clearly removes the individual from taking their life and their health in their own hands and identifying ways that they can improve that. They instead believe that there's an obligatory decline in our sense of health and our quality of life as we age. And it's thought that aging is the etiology of these conditions, and they're actually separate. They're associated with age, these degenerative conditions that seem to be more prevalent as people get older, but they're actually the result of cumulative degenerative and disease processes that can be separated from the chronology of age. And Brad, I think, you know, this will be fairly controversial perhaps, but I think one of the biggest contributions to the absence of any direct pursuit of health, in civilized and capitalist societies, is that wealth clearly has the highest priority.
Right.
And you know, this is on the political agenda all the time. It's on everybody's thought each morning. You get up and go to work, and the goal is to be productive and eventually bring home a paycheck, accumulate assets, and generate some form of wealth, and we'll willingly sacrifice our health to do that. We'll stay up all night, we'll be stressed, we'll deprive ourselves of food, we'll deprive ourselves of restorative time in nature or exercise and movement. We'll deprive ourselves of time with family. We'll deprive ourselves of things that we all know are critically important as a sacrifice for being successful at work and financially.
Right,
and,
but then we'll spend the latter part of our lives spending all our money to try to get healthy.
Right, and I should mention that was a major transition for me when I was a radiology resident at the Mayo Clinic. As a tertiary and quaternary referral center, people would come from all over the country with tremendous wealth, and they would simply say, this is the Mayo Clinic. We have all the money in the world, and we'll give it to you to save this man's life.
Right.
And we would have to say, I'm sorry, we don't have any secrets or any magic technology that will allow you to purchase health back. So it was really an awakening to observe that we do sacrifice our health. We believe that that's normal and obligatory to do that, and then we hope that once we've accumulated some wealth and we've retired, we'll restore ourselves. And that is not really a very practical hope and plan.
Right.
And if we think about it, what we're trying to achieve through making a paycheck and accumulating wealth is a resource in the form of money that we want to then exchange for things that make us happy and fulfilled and healthy.
So true. And what makes us happier than truly being able to enjoy life? And the only way you could truly enjoy life is with optimal health. We've still got so much to talk about. We've just basically gone through half the show right now. My guest is Dr. Nathan Daly, an ecological medical professional. We're going to be talking more about that when we come back. The health benefits of things like natural environments and contact with nature. I mean, how many of us actually get out and really enjoy and take in nature? And as Dr. Daly has said, you know, we spend all of our lives pretty much working and trying to get to the next level, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves ready to retire and we just don't have the health to do that. We'll be right back with more of Transforming Health with Brad King after these messages. If you haven't done so already, please join me on Facebook, Transforming Health with Brad King. We've got over 30,000 people that follow us on there, and we'd love to have more, and it is a great means to get this information on an ongoing basis. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health with Brad King. Today we're experiencing an epidemic of people who merely exist as opposed to those who are living. At least where optimal health is concerned, and at least from a biological perspective. It's almost like we seem to accept this downward spiral of disease and dysfunction as the way it is, and possibly because we don't know any other way to be. And let's face it, it is normal not to be well as we get a little older. Aging itself these days is a condition of becoming more and more dysfunctional. And because dysfunctional conditions are present throughout the population, they are deemed normal and erroneously assumed to be acceptable or healthy. And therefore, true preventative medicine requires a health-oriented approach rather than a disease-oriented approach. And positive health is the ultimate disease prevention. Today's guest is a trained professional in the areas of integrative medicine, preventative medicine, diagnostic radiology, and environmental health. He received his integrative medical training at the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, and he practices medicine in Colorado at the Leonardi Institute. Once again, please welcome one of the most foremost thought leaders and pioneers in the areas of positive health-oriented medicine. We have Dr. Nathan Daly. Dr. Daly, let's talk about this ecological medicine because, you know, a lot of us have not heard of that word before. Can you explain really what ecological medicine stands for?
Sure. The term has been used before and by many different people, and unfortunately it's not well defined, and so it's actually used to refer to various different perspectives on medicine and health. And I think its most common use is to refer essentially to environmental health and environmental medicine. So more narrowly, in the study and practice of avoiding or correcting harm from pollution and toxicants. Clearly, that's an important area, and one of the elements of ecological medicine, but not one in the same as ecological medicine. So that is environmental health when we're focusing on pollution and toxicants. Others use ecological medicine to refer to practicing medicine with an environmental awareness or an emphasis on sustainability. Essentially, it's a form of green medicine, which, again, I think is wonderful and important and necessary, but not quite along the lines of the way I use ecological medicine. So the way I use it is based on more superficially based on the science of ecology or process or systems ecology, which is really in the sense of looking at the total process of informational exchange between an organism, in this case a person, and their environment. So it's referring to the total interaction with their environment, and it's a single process. Their ecology is one total or gestalt sort of interaction, but it does need to be divided for practicality and to make it operational. So superficially, I divide this ecology, this interaction with the environment, into nutrition, movement, and I prefer movement instead of exercise for a number of reasons, but it does encompass exercise, air quality, water and water quality, electromagnetic interactions, and interbeing interactions, as I call it, which is interpersonal and our relationship with the other organisms we share this planet with. I also use ecology and ecological medicine to refer to a more deep or profound level, which is really referring to that interdependence between an organism and the environment. It's referring to that coupled exchange between the two that actually manifests their existence. So to me, there's no ability for an organism or the environment to exist without their interaction. And so it's sort of a complex systems perspective where these are open systems. They're not really defined by the boundary of the skin or everything outside of the skin is the environment. They're actually in open communication and energy and information exchange with one another, essentially making them a single system and a single entity.
So basically, everything
ecology is a process
everything.
Of being or becoming as part of the whole.
So basically, everything affects everything.
Right, and that's absolutely true, and I think that's there's great agreement with that statement in a number of areas of science. And medicine, even conventional medicine, I don't think would disagree. But the problem is being able to utilize that concept and make it into a practice that we can apply to improve individual health.
So being a specialist in environmental health, so to speak, from all perspectives, would you not really say then that possibly the number one problem in the world today would be how we perceive our environment, meaning stress, how stress affects us on all levels, because that really is what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, if we perceive our environment as hard or stressful, well, that creates a whole different biochemical milieu inside our bodies. And, you know, you could perceive your environment completely different from me perceiving my environment, even though we may live in the exact same province or state. So it's really how do we view everything around us? So let's talk about stress for a second. How serious is the issue of stress, and how we experience stress within our lives?
I think it's critically serious, and I think it's as you said, it comes down to the perception or the interpretation of our place in the world and our ability to manage ourselves in the world. And this circles back to how I like to define health, which is a long explanation in and of itself. But essentially, I've taken as a point of departure the work of Aaron Antonovsky, who is a sociologist, who worked on a concept he called salutogenesis, which comes from the Latin salud and genesis, meaning salud means health. So it's the genesis of health or the creation of health. He determined that health is a product of this this concept he called the sense of coherence. And the main elements of the sense of coherence was having a sense of manageability, that your world around you was manageable. It was also comprehensible, and it was meaningful. And so if we go back to stress, stress is essentially a symptom of having an impaired sense of coherence. If you perceive the world or say the immediate circumstances you're in as being manageable, comprehensible, and meaningful, it will not be perceived as being stressful. So I think what we're seeing with this epidemic of stress is a decline in our sense of coherence for a number of reasons. And essentially, that is a decline in our health. I use a sense of coherence as a synonym for the term I prefer, which is efficacy. If we have impaired efficacy, we generally perceive stress, but it's much beyond that. Without efficacy, we essentially feel and objectively struggle to acquire the resources we need to maintain our existence. and our most vibrant and optimal existence.
Right, and I mean, since we're on the subject of ecological medicine, I mean, we can't, you know, there's how we perceive our environment, but there's also things that are completely out of our control, and I'm talking about environmental pollutants that also really hasten the disease processes within the body. So, you know, let's look at something like Cornell University a couple of years ago estimated that 40% of world deaths are now attributed to various environmental factors, especially things like chemical pollutants like pesticides. So, you know, what do we do about that large percentage that is supposedly not in our control?
Well, I think we argue against the presumption that it's not in our control. So I would completely agree it's not 100% in our individual control, but to assume that it's 100% and not able to be influenced by us as individuals or not able to be mitigated in any way is to contribute to the problem and allow it to run its course of basically destroying the health of humankind, essentially ourselves, destroying ourselves. So, you know, I tell my patients that these are very real concerns. These pollutants and toxicants are certainly impairing your health. They're causing disease, and they're doing it to every person alive that's exposed to them across the globe. But what we need to do is try and take every possible measure to influence that threat. And that may mean simple things like having a water filter in the house or having a HEPA air filter, freestanding air filter in the rooms of our children or in our own rooms, trying to locate our residents in places of minimal pollution. It, you know, we do have some control over these small elements of it.
Right.
Eating organic foods, supporting local organic agriculture or beyond organic agriculture and biodynamic and, you know, grow your own food and your own vegetables and produce as possible. And so, you know, these are small influences. They help us individually. They help reduce the burden of these pollutants and toxicants that are harming us. But they also influence our local community. They influence our local economy, and that, as we know, is connected to the national and global economy.
Right.
So,
right.
You know,
now, what about now? I get that, and I'm very much for that. Obviously, the recycling, the purchasing organic, the moving as far away as possible, and voicing an opinion on on GMO containing food and the labeling of such food. But what about what we can do for ourselves right now? What I mean is, the problem is there. It's in the air. It's in the water. It's in the food. Yes, we can get the water filter. Yes, we can get the HEPA air filter, so on and so forth. We're still going to be exposed to this stuff. So what can we do internally to limit the damage from everything that we're being exposed to right now?
Yeah, great question. And I want to emphasize as the most important element of that is the total ecology once again. It all contributes in non-specific ways to our total health. So everything matters. If you're exposed to air pollution and water pollution that you really have no control over, it doesn't mean you're doomed, because if your diet is great and your movement and exercise is great and your psychology and perception of the world around you is great, your sleep and your electromagnetic interactions, which is obviously another source of pollution, electrosmog, if those are relatively good, you're still supporting your health the best you can from those angles, and that makes a world of difference in regard to how your body as a system reacts and responds to the pollution that you can't control.
Perfect. But, Dr. Daly, let's carry on with that when we come back for the last segment of Transforming Health. Very, very interesting topic. And I want to also talk about things we may not think about in terms of pollution, and that is light, you know, the overexposure of light and really what that's doing to our society and to our physiology and biochemistry. We'll be right back with the last segment of Transforming Health with Brad King and my guest today, Dr. Nathan Daly. Don't go anywhere.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome to the last segment of Transforming Health for this week. You know, optimal health is really our God-given right, and it's the primary source of happiness and vitality and peace in life. Unfortunately, most of us never experience optimal health as, you know, we get too caught up in giving into what we perceive as must-haves. We have to have the processed and fried foods. We have to have the excess alcohol. We have to have the bread. I mean, the list just goes on and on. We've become a highly reactive society. We wait until something goes wrong or breaks down before attempting to remedy it. And the problem is that with the conventional model of medicine, we place one band-aid over another and we never get to the root of the problem, and in the process, we cause the human body to break down long before it ever should. Once again, please welcome Dr. Nathan Daly, ecological medical professional, to the show. Dr. Daly, we were talking about, you know, the pollution and all of the problems that are associated with things around us, the air, the water, the food, what we could do about that, eating organic, non-genetically modified organisms, getting things like a HEPA filter, a really good filter for our rooms, getting a water filter for our house, or at least buying some sort of properly filtered water. But let's talk about what we can do to clean our systems or give what I call cellular insurance to ourselves. What do you recommend supplement-wise, for instance, to help us?
Well, the way I use supplements in practice is largely individualized and targeted towards an individual's ecology, their individual threats and challenges and imbalances that we can identify within their lifestyle and their interactions with the environment, as well as what we find in diagnostics and lab results that we know to be biomarkers of degenerative disease processes. We can use certain supplements to target those biomarkers directly and dramatically improve them and thus reduce risk of these diseases. There's an endless number, as you know, of supplements sold out there on the market. Many of them, if not all of them, have real value. It just requires them to be applied individually. Obviously, no one person can take 1,000 different supplements, and in doing so, that could probably be, in fact, harmful.
Sure.
Targeted use is the best. However, there's reason to believe that there are some supplements that are generally required by most everybody. And the reason I believe that that's the case is we all, as long as we're living in a modern-day country with modern agriculture, modern infrastructure, and modern challenges in our environment, we all end up deficient in certain areas. And I think these essentially amount to very small deficiencies in regard to each day or each meal or each year, but cumulatively.
So Dr. Daly, what are those? Because we're running out of time. What are the supplements that you'd recommend where maybe the majority of people should really be paying attention to them?
Yeah, I think fish oil clearly has great evidence. I think we're all deficient in these specific omega-3 fatty acids.
Right.
If you can find another way to get DHA and EPA besides fish oil, like algal DHEA, that's great. Other areas include vitamin D, clearly.
How much vitamin D would you recommend? Because it's just all over the map with recommendations these days.
Well, that does need to be individualized for sure. People absorb it differently, and so different doses are required. It's not unusual for me to use 5,000 to 10,000 and occasionally more units per day. So 10,000 I use per day is way beyond what is recommended by the Institute of Medicine and the FDA, but it's sometimes required to get levels up. However, I monitor everybody on those doses to make sure we're shooting for 50 to 70 nanograms per deciliter of 25-hydroxy vitamin D in the blood.
Okay, and so fish oil, vitamin D, what else?
Beyond that, I think a good probiotic is essential and something that we're all deficient in because of our very hygienic environment. Good fiber, whether we get that through diet or as a supplement, you can get it enough of it through diet full of vegetables and fruits, but oftentimes a supplement's required. We want a lot of soluble fiber, so a fiber supplement's very good. Some of the supplements from cruciferous vegetables, the indoles, the glucosinolates, this is like indole-3-carbinol, sulforaphane, the metabolite of I3C or indole-3-carbinol is DIM, diindolyl methane. That's a little better absorbed.
Right.
Those are important for cancer prevention and act as powerful antioxidants as well.
Yeah, and I just want to recommend, we actually we put a couple of those out which are gender-specific. One is called Male Energy and the other one is called Her Energy, and they contain basically the equivalent of those indoles that you're talking about that you would need to eat, about 2 pounds of things like broccoli or cauliflower or bok choy. So these indoles are very important because they do detoxify very nasty forms of estrogen that are implicated in things like endometrial problems with women and breast cancer and prostate cancer in men. So very, very important. I want to talk about light pollution. We've had electric light since 1879. We're governed by the rhythms of nature. We call those circadian rhythms. But we create a lot of problems when we keep lights on all the time. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think light's one of the primary regulators of our circadian rhythms, and there's the whole biology of the Earth, the biosphere, including human organisms, can essentially be represented as chronobiology or layer upon layer of rhythms. There's ultradian rhythms, infradian rhythms, as well as circadian rhythms. There's thousands of rhythms all working together. When we fall out of step, out of sync with the natural environment through the artificial manipulation of light or visible light, we alter our own internal rhythms. We also alter those rhythms of the life forms around us, including birds and insects and so forth, which does have additional consequences. So one of the primary things that happens is we find ourselves out of step with the normal light-dark rhythms of the day. We find our endocrine system not operating optimally, including cortisol rhythms that may be peaking in a trough at the wrong times of the day, leaving us fatigued or irritable or stressed. We end up getting compromised sleep, insufficient sleep. I believe we should sleep longer in the winter. We're in higher latitudes. We should sleep longer as the nights are longer and less as the nights are shorter in the summer.
Right. But also, we need to dim our lights. Instead of having these bright lights in the house right up until the time we go to bed, should we not be emulating what would be found in nature? I mean, we don't have the sun out at 7 or 8 o'clock at night in the winter.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's important to try and simulate or approximate natural light-dark cycles. I recommend all my patients to have a low blue light or a red light in places in the house that you use a lot after dark or after dusk. So bedside reading lights should be red or low blue lights, and that's because it's the blue side of the spectrum, the electromagnetic spectrum, that suppresses melatonin production.
Right.
So you can help yourself fall or maintain yourself in that circadian rhythm, the natural rhythm of light and dark, with red lights. And it doesn't mean that you have to go to bed right away, but you can still get some things done and still be functional at night.
And have a little bit of a psychedelic time at the same time. Dr. Daly, we're out of time today. You've been listening to Transforming Health with Brad King. My guest today has been Dr. Nathan Daly, ecological medical doctor. Dr. Daly, where can our listeners, find out more information about you and about ecological medicine itself?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot to read and a lot to explore on my website. It's www.ecoholos.com. That's ecoholos.com. You'll find definitions of health, the origins of health, ways to improve your health, and what the deep practice of ecological medicine is.
Beautiful. Well, listen, Dr. Daly, I want to thank you for, first of all, being the practitioner that you are, and you really are an example to the allopathic model, so to speak. So I hope a lot of other doctors really can learn from you. So thank you. Keep up your fantastic work. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show today, and we will be back next week, same time, same place, with another fantastic guest. Thank you so much for listening to Transforming Health with Brad King.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.